giving and getting. I'll explain that to you in just a minute when we go a little farther along. As I said, this text today was after a little, sometime after the birth of Jesus, but yet Mary and Joseph hadn't returned back to their hometown. They were still in Bethlehem. Apparently, they'd gotten out of the, they had probably gotten out of the manger by now, maybe got into a house somewhere or, along the way. And, you know, what we think about as we start leading up to this, and I was thinking about at the Christmas season, you know, every year I talk about this too, for sure. We're doing a lot of shopping. I ask all the people this morning, you know, there's only 14 shopping days left before Christmas. And, you know, a lot of people, you've already done some. How many of you haven't done any Christmas shopping yet? There's some, boy, a lot. So some of you have got it done. Some of you are in the middle of it. Some of you hadn't got started yet. You know, well, time is short and it'll be here, you know, be here and gone before you know it. And, you know, we talk about that every year. And we talk about things that obscure Christmas for us. There's a lot of extracurricular things. I talk about that every year. We got Santa Claus. We got reindeer. We got snowmen. We got elves. We got the Grinch. We got everything, man. I mean, we got, you know, and then there's like get-togethers and all, which are great. You know, it's good to do that. We have all those things, and we talk about that. And we got the buying and getting presents. You know, we're looking through our list, and we're trying to find out. The hardest thing is to find out, like, what do you want? You know, Damien every year. Damien, what do you want? I don't know. I said, all right, well, that's what you wanted last year. And so you're trying to, it's real hard to shop for somebody that doesn't know, you know. And so you got to tell them, you know, what it is, and you're trying to figure out what to get. And so, you know, when we talk about that, then we'll say this. We usually say something like, well, you know what? It's not about the giving and the getting. You know, it's not about the presents. That's, you know, that's what we say, right? That's wrong. It's exactly about the presents. It's all about the getting and the giving. And I'm going to show you in the text that we just read today. It's all about the getting and the giving. I was read an article this week. It's a well-known pastor, Arthur's public, he speaks, I guess he's still pastor, I believe he is still pastor, and you'd know who it is if I said. But in reference to giving of the gifts, he said it all started with the wise men. No, it didn't start with the wise men. It started with God. Huh? It started with God. The Bible says, for God, John 3:16, familiar verse, that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God gave the gift, and then the wise men came along. Man, how do you miss it? How do you miss it? It's right there in the text. And you know, we think about, well, why did God give? It's right in the text too. For God so loved the world. God gave because he loved. Boy, don't you love giving gifts to somebody you love, huh? Hey, you remember back in the day when you had like a girlfriend or you had a boyfriend and, you know, getting the other gifts, but boy, you wanted to get that someone special. You know, you just was all excited, right? You remember that? And you get it, and you go out there and you'd spend your little hard-earned cash on whatever you could afford, want to get them something that they want, something that they need, you know, and then you want to get it, and you just couldn't wait to give it to them, and you had about as much fun giving the gift, huh? Didn't it? Boy, it just put that little warm, fuzzy feeling right here. You want to give that gift. And, oh, it was a thrill, man. Why did you do it? Because it was love, right? That's what you did. You know, love chapter in the Bible is 1 Corinthians 13. You know, I'm a King James Version Bible guy. I like the King James Version. I love it in 1 Corinthians because the word that it uses for love is charity. And the reason that the word uses that because charity is a giving love. It's a giving kind of love. You think it's for God so loved the world that he gave. So I think agape love, which is God, how God loves, agape love is a giving love. For God so loved agape, the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that first Christmas present. He gave. And so, see, God gave, right? Do you think God enjoyed that? I mean, God, man, listen, God gave and he gave that gift. He wanted to give a gift to us. You know, sometimes you get something like, I'm one of those, I don't necessarily have to have something I need. I want something I want. Now, sometimes I want what I do need, but there's a lot of things I don't need. I just want them, you know, and we all can go there with that. But it's good if they kind of line up and everything. And God knew. And God knew what, you know, what we needed. He gave, he loved us so much. He said, listen, I'm going to give you the best gift, the gift you need more than anything else in the world. I'm going to give you my Son who will eventually die and pay on the cross, pay for our sins, and we could have eternal life. Now listen, you're not going to get anything this Christmas to top eternal life. You know, it's not, I don't care what you get, everything else we got, it's going to all rust up, fall apart. Well, I got a few things. When I was 4 years old, I tell you all this every year, but some people wasn't here, so I'll share with you. When I was 4 years old, I had a real big Christmas. You know how your parents are when the kids finally get old enough to really realize what's going on, man, and they know. And boy, I got a real nice red wagon. I still have it. I still have it this day. I got to do a little work on the thing where the wheels turn. I got to get a little welding machine and fix something. I got my wagon. I got a sled, one of them. I think it's one of them, what are they, Western Flyer or something. I still got it. 4 years old, I still got it. I'm 68 years old. It's 64 years old, I still got it. I got my Wonder Horse, original Wonder Horse with the spring thing. My kids rode on it. My grandkids have ridden on it, and I'm going to keep it on hopefully down the road. We got great-grandkids now coming along. Man, listen, I've got those things, but that ain't look shiny as new as all they used to and everything. We had to put different wheels on the wagon. The old tires fell off of it, rust. But most everything we have is gone. We don't keep everything there. But God said, listen, I'm going to give you eternal life. None of that stuff tops eternal life. He said, you know, that you have this gift right here. So here was God. And then when God sheds His love abroad in our hearts, this is what happens when you get saved. When you get saved, you trust Jesus for your salvation. God fills us with His, He gives us His Holy Spirit. We can be filled with His Spirit, but it's He gives us a new heart, and His love is shed abroad in our hearts. Well, if it's God's love that's shed abroad in our heart, guess what we are? Then guess what we're going to be? We're going to be a giving love, right? We want to get, see, we receive first, getting, and then we gave. We reciprocate. See, it reciprocates. See, it's all about getting and giving. Huh? God gave us, and then we received eternal life, and now His love is in us, agape love, and now our love goes out to other people, and then we do. See, that's what really a picture is. It's all about that thing. Now, we're not worshiping the gift, that gifts, those gifts, but it's all about the love. It's all about love, and that's why we do that. And so, you know, we look and we see the early church in the book of Acts. I talked about that at the men's meeting breakfast yesterday morning. But when you see there, you know what the people did? They had so much love for the other brethren. When they saw about somebody that had a need, that they needed some help, you know what they did? They sold some of their possessions. And they sold some of their possessions, and they gave... helped them out financially, sold some of that junk that they got, that they just loved somebody so much, you know, and then the Bible says in Acts when they did that, you know what it did for them? When they gave, they were filled with joy. Come on down. They were filled with joy. I like an early altar call. Boy, there's somebody under conviction right there. If they come to the altar before you get done preaching, come on down. But so they were filled with joy. See, they gave, but what did God give them? They were filled with joy. It came from what? It came from God. Huh? I mean, it's not like tit for tat and we're earning anything. It just happens this way. This is what it is. They were filled with joy. And Jesus said, Himself said this. He said, it's more blessed to give than receive. Amen. And you know, you really see that. Well, I mean, I'm excited when I get Sherry the other day. Sherry doesn't like to spend money. I'm blessed with a wife that's not a big spender. I'm the big spender in the family. She's cursed with a husband that happens to be a big spender. But she doesn't like, and she, I was getting ready to go out. She goes, well, you know, you don't have to give me nothing. She knows I'm going shopping, right? She gets in a panic. And I said, listen, honey, let me tell you something. It's a joy for me to do it. I said, don't rob my joy. She said, all right. And I went on out the door. Huh? And I got them on. I got them. I wrapped her gifts. And I set them. And then last night, I think, you know what we could use? She goes, oh, no. I said, I was on there looking for something else. You know, we were looking for something. I said, we could use something else. But, you know, it's a joy to do that. I like to be able to give to my family, give to my kids, to give other people to help them. I mean, it is a blessing to give, right? I mean, it just blesses your heart if you're able to do it. And And when we think about Jesus, when Jesus went to the cross, and the Bible says this about he was facing about what he did when he it was afterwards, but it said that he faced it because of the joy that was set before him. Jesus went to the cross because of the joy that was set before him. What was the joy? The eternal life that he would give us. Huh? I mean, he knew. He said, I'm giving him something. Boy, it was a sacrificial gift. I mean, it cost him something. There was some suffering. There was some pain. I'm going to tell you what, but he wanted to do it because of the joy that was set before him, and that was being able to give us that gift. And we know how that is as well. And so we think we know that joy somewhat that we have in giving gifts, and it's as much fun really to give as receive as well. It might even produce more joy giving than receiving does. It just might. Back in the summer, I shared this with a couple of people in the church. Brother Harold Vaughn and I, we got to talking about, we had lunch together, and we were sitting down here at North Star talking. And we got to talking about, man, you know, like these, the money, like these athletes and stuff. And listen, I don't begrudge them. I don't get mad at them. Listen, don't get mad at somebody because they make more money than you. Don't get mad about that. If they can get it, man. That's fine. And listen, I want to say this up front. A lot of those people that have a lot of money, they are giving people. They're giving people. They help people you don't know about. They help everything. They don't give everything they own away, but they do help people along the way. We were talking about it, I thought, man, you imagine, it's mind-boggling to us that don't have all that. Unless you're a millionaire here, you don't know what. But I mean, you imagine like, $150 million contract that they get over a short little span of years. It just messes your mind up. And then I got to thinking a little bit deeper. A billionaire, think about that. You get to $999 million, and the next million you make, you're going to be a billionaire. A billionaire. That's a hundred million, whatever. We can't even count. I don't have enough fingers and toes to count. Listen to this, Elon Musk is worth $244.4 billion. I couldn't spend it. What could you? You couldn't. I mean, I'm just thinking about the few. What do you really? I mean, I would love to own a pretty good, like a chunk of land, a couple hundred acres of land to go just hunting on. I'd like to pave the road that we live on. I wouldn't even move out of my house. I'd like to pave that old dusty road that just goes up to my house and pay off the credit card and whatever we got, little bills we got on that, that thing. And then that's it. How in the world? You can't fathom it. And Brother Harold and I was talking about it at lunch. If you don't know him, Harold is an evangelist and preaches. He lives around near here, but he preaches all over the world. I said, man, I said, you know what, boy, if I had that million, we could help a lot of people, couldn't we? I said, yeah. I told Kim this morning, I said, Kim and Melissa, let me tell you something. All the car troubles y'all have, I don't even have to have $1 billion. I mean, if I get $1 million from somebody, your car troubles is over? Huh? We're going to go down, I'm going to get you a nice, shiny new car, both of you, with a warranty on it. I'm not lying. I told Harold Vaughn, Patty and Jane. Where's Patty and Jane? There's Jane. You ain't got to worry about renting a house no more. I mean, I ain't going to get you a mansion on a hilltop, but I'm going to get you a place. I'm going to buy you a house maybe right down in Buck Cannon, a little nice place already. Pay for the whole thing. Church, you don't have to pay me another dime. I'd buy you a house. I'd pay my daughter and son-in-law. They wouldn't have to worry about paying her house. Kyle, you wouldn't have to worry about that truck payment. All that, huh? Harold and I, and you might think, oh, you're just making it up. You ask Harold Vaughn. I said, that's what, first one that came out, I said, Patty and James. I said, man, I'd get them a place either when you were living over there, buy that lot, tear that thing out of there, put you a house in there, man. I mean, you could do that for the people that you and I know. Just the group. I mean, you're not going to be able to take care of the whole world. But the people in our little sphere, we could help every single one of them out and still wouldn't know what to do with the rest of the money. Buy, go on, whatever you want to do. I'm not saying I guess people, I hear about them that blow everything. I don't know how they do, but they do. But I mean, when you get up at that kind of thing, listen. But boy, it would be a blessing. It would be a blessing. So I was thinking about that. And it would be a joy. It would be, obviously, we'd be giving out of our abundance if we had, you know, that kind of money. And I told Kim and them this morning, I said, y'all start praying to somebody to give me $100 million and y'all get a new car out of the deal, so y'all pray. But God's giving was a sacrificial giving. And God takes note. Listen, God takes note, I think, of all our giving, but particularly he takes note of sacrificial giving. Sacrificial giving. I had this thought on my mind about this message for today. You know, like I say, the holidays, when I was a young pastor and just started, I kind of liked the holidays coming around because I had a topic I was going to be on. But after 28 years of doing it, now I'm trying to get something different. But I had an idea for this, what I'm talking to you about today. And then I got the Daily Bread out for December the 7th. It's a lot of you read that, get the Daily Bread. And it was talking about the American author O. Henry. He wrote a Christmas story in 1905, and it was called The Gift of the Magi. And in that story that he wrote, he tells about a story of a poor married couple where the wife, she had real beautiful long hair. On Christmas Eve, she sold her hair so that she could buy her husband a gold pocket watch chain. He had a pocket watch, but he didn't have it. She wanted to buy him this nice gold chain. Little did she know when she found out on Christmas Day that her husband had sold the pocket watch to buy her this beautiful set of combs for her hair. But the gift was, and what he said was, the gift was the sacrifice that they had for each other. That was the gift, the real gift, that they sacrificed for each other. And so we see in our text today, I looked at the wise men. We usually talk about those guys along the way, you know, during the Christmas time. And I kind of started here. I know it's after, and I'm going to back up in the next couple weeks about that. And we look at the wise men, and we think about them as they desired to go and find the Christ child, and they desired to go and to worship, and they responded to the giving that God had given them. The very first thing we see that they gave time. There was the sacrifice of time. And in verse 2 of our text, when we started reading, it said there that they came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. Been a lot of speculation about how far they traveled. It was pretty good distance in those days, traveling being, no, they didn't have to go down Interstate 81 and that, but they had to travel. You know, traveling was on riding on a camel, I guess, or, donkeys or whatever, something they rode on, some kind of an animal, weather and everything that they had to go through. But without thinking about it, I don't know that they had that thought in their mind, hey, we're going to go worship this child, and they probably didn't know everything that we knew. They knew some Old Testament Bible prophecy. They knew something out of Isaiah. They knew what Isaiah had said. They didn't know everything you and I know today, but they said, you know, we're going to go. I don't think they thought, hey, we're going to go, and we're going to really offer the Lord our time. All this time is there. I don't think that was it. It was just whatever it took, they were going to get to Jesus. I like that. I think God honors that. When we think, it doesn't matter. I'm sure sometimes we read about these people in the Bible and we think, well, you know, they didn't have nothing else to do. Come on, man, they had more to do than we do. They had to make their clothes. They had to grow their food. They had to reap the harvest. They had to prepare the food. I mean, they had to do a million more things. They didn't have contractors building how. They everything and all that they had to, and money was really in usually in animals. You know, they had to take care of herds and flocks and all that thing. Man, it was a busy day. Trust me. They had things to do just like you and I, maybe more so. They had business and families and all that goes with it that we have as well. But whatever it was, they put it on hold. There was a priority in their life. Listen, God takes note of that. This is where it applies to us. God takes note of our priority with Him. And, what are we going to do? I said tonight, we're going to have the Christmas program. Listen, everybody worked real hard and on that and all that. We hope it's raining. And all, you know, whatever. Put on a hat, those things, they worked hard, they want to do it, like we let things that come between us and worship in the Lord, whatever to do, we let that affect us somewhat, but they had this time, And so they put everything in their life on hold. Is that a sacrifice? It probably cost them something. Cost them time with their family. Cost them, whatever business they were in, they didn't operate that. Maybe they had somebody else do it. I don't know. I'm just speculating as to what it could cost them. Certainly cost them time and discomfort. Long trip. You know how a long trip is. Imagine riding on a camel for 1,000 miles, maybe, whatever it was that they traveled. Listen, they put it on hold and they found Jesus and they brought their gifts. They wanted to see him and they wanted to worship him and they wanted to bring him gifts. Just what were they in? They were in the giving mood. They didn't know what they were going to get. Listen, what they got far exceeded what they brought. But they said, listen, this is what we're going to bring to Jesus. We want to bring something to Jesus. Not in the thought of we're going to get something in return. See, it's not like that. Well, I'm going to love, Jesus loved me, and I'm going to love back, and then God's going to give me this. No, they weren't thinking like that. They wasn't thinking like that. And so the Bible tells us to use our time wisely. His days are numbered. Days are short. Life is but a vapor, the Bible says. It says to use your time wisely. You can find that in Proverbs there. And that our days are numbered. What better way could we spend our time? Think about it. I think about this all the time. You get older, you start thinking. There's people, man, that they sit in front of the TV all day long with the remote in their hand. And that day in, day out, you know, doing that till their time expires. You know, is that the most beneficial way to spend their time? What better way could we spend our time? Listen, you know, there's a saying here, you can't save time. A lot of times, you can't save time, you can only spend it. You cannot save it. It's going to keep going, it's going to keep going. So, seeking and finding and worshiping Jesus. Listen, there's no better way to spend your time. Mom and dad, you got kids, no better thing to take your kids to than that, to do that. So they had their time, they gave their time. And then the second thing is we see that they gave their treasure. And they brought their treasure, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Man, there's a lot of things you can preach on that. Myrrh speaks of his death because that's what they used to embalm bodies, and gold is purity and all that, and I'm not going to talk about all that. They just brought, they were all expensive things. They were hard to get. And we got the little ladies to get together, and I know we do this all around. They do the Dirty Santa thing, and they usually put it like, say you want a gift of a certain value, put a value on it, so that you don't get the short end of the stick. You know, you bought a $20 item, and somebody bought a 10-cent item, and, you know, you try to, you know, and I get it. And when I was in school back in those days, we would do the Pollyanna gift. I don't know if they even do that anymore. You draw names out of a hat. And then, whoever's name you get, you buy a gift for them, and somebody's drawing your name out. You remember that? And the teacher would tell you, back in them days, it was probably $5, you know. You can get a model airplane or something, and always get a girl, man. You had to figure out what to get a girl. You know, you have to check it out. But we do that because we want it to be an equal gift. You know, it's not going to be the short end of the stick. But, you know, when God gave, man, listen, God didn't hold back. God wasn't saying, okay, I'm giving and you're giving and your gift's got to equal my gift. Couldn't do it. You know, I couldn't do it. God didn't even think, wasn't worried about it. I mean, God, you know, he didn't hold back. He gave the very best. There wasn't a cap. I mean, he gave the best. What else could he have given any greater than that? And we already talked about it. The reason that he did it was love. Like, depending on where you fit financially, most parents would, you know, want to do for their kids and things, and sometimes we'd like to give them more than what we do. You know, if we had the $100 million, $1 billion or whatever, you know, the gifts would probably correspond a little bit more with what we have. Sometimes people don't have much. They'd like to give their kids more, you know. I remember my great-grandmother and them saying, hey, they'd get some hard candy. Maybe an orange. We still give out oranges sometimes on the Christmas play thing. Just an orange, a little bit of hard candy or something. Stuff we take for granted. We can try it over here at the dollar store and get pockets filled up with that. Most of us can afford to do that. But this is what they got for Christmas. I mean, this is all they got for Christmas. You know, this small thing. But they appreciated that. And their parents probably wish I could get you, you know, just a pair of shoes, a pair of socks, maybe a shirt, something, you know, that beneficial and help out. And it was the same way. But the reason was because of love. In Luke 21, there's a story of people giving money to God, putting money in the offering for God. And there was this widow woman. It said she was a poor widow woman, and she cast in two mites. A mite is the smallest measurement of money. Measurement's not the word I'm looking for, but you got the picture. It's the smallest denomination of money that there was. And it said one mite is an eighth of a penny. An eighth of a penny would be the value of that. So she put in two. My math's not great, but I believe that's a quarter of a penny, if I'm right on that. That would bring her up to a fourth. Quarter might throw y'all. A fourth of a penny. A fourth of a penny. And it says that's all she had. All she had. A fourth of a penny. And she said, I want to give that to God. And Jesus commented on that. He said, she put in more than everybody. She put in more than everybody. She put in all she had. All she had. That's giving, huh? Later on, when Jesus was about to go to the cross, there was a woman that wasn't a wealthy woman as well, but she had an alabaster box with ointment in it. And she broke the box, which the alabaster box was expensive, but she broke the box and she poured out the ointment, and it tells how much it was. She poured it out on Jesus' head, anointed him for his burial, because, you know, he didn't get anointed before his burial. This was it. Use that at Easter. But. And it said it was the amount that it lists in the Bible was about a year's wages. A whole year for the average person. A year's wages for the average person. Would you do that? Would you take in one lump a whole year's worth of your salary, whatever it is? Doesn't matter. It's not the amount. A whole year's worth of your salary and say, God, here it is. I could be on TV preaching this message. That's what they talk about all the time on air, right? I mean, but would you know, I'm just talking about the heart of it. You know, that's just what she wanted to do. Nobody said, hey, listen, lady, you gotta give that. Nobody said she could have broke that alabaster box and just used some of the ointment. Jesus didn't say you had to pour it out on her. She didn't have to pour none of it out. They all did this out of their heart. It wasn't the law, man. This was the love of God that was there. And I'm tell you what, Jesus took note, I think, in both counts. He knew, he told that other woman, he said, because the disciples criticized the woman that anointed his head and said, you know what, what a waste. They said it was a waste, and they said we could have sold that and took the money and put it in the bag, and we'd have had more money to give to the poor. And Jesus said, listen, you know, he kind of silenced them on that and said, she's done this. You know, you're always going to have the poor, but you're not always going to have me. And he said she did this for anointing my body. And she anointed, you know, and I mean, man, Jesus, listen, Jesus took note. He did, when that widow woman put in one-fourth of a penny's worth of money in the offering, it's, you know, it said that, you know, that was going to, that was going to be recorded for her, you know, that we, and we have it in the Bible. We know about it to this day. Don't know her name, but we know that this woman, so he took note of that. And I think that woman, I think both of them. You know what, this is what, listen, let me read this to you. In Luke 6:38 says, give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over shall men give into your bosoms. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. I believe that woman that threw them two little mites in there, she had a good day. I believe that she got a blessing somewhere real close to that time. She got a blessing somewhere along the way. That isn't what she did it for. That isn't what she's looking for. But I'm going to tell you what, God said, you give and I'm going to give back to you. And I'm going to tell you what, she got some. She was having a good day, probably had a good week. She probably had the best week of her whole life. It might have been a best day for the rest of her life. She got something out of it. When God took note of that, boy, I tell you what, it was going to be a great time. Whoo, man. These wise men, I don't know what all they had. Maybe they had lots of gold and frankincense and myrrh. I don't know, but I know they thought enough to haul it. Gold's not very light. Not that I know that much about it, but gold's not very light, but they hauled gold and frankincense and myrrh and some kind of containers and all that. They brought that with them all the way. They had these gifts that they wanted. You know, here's the thing about it. They didn't go to Jesus looking to see what they could get. They went to Jesus to give him something. Little did they know. So many people want to know, you know, what has God got for me? Well, listen, God's got for you eternal life. I mean, he's got the biggest gift ever, and they didn't know that. We do, but they didn't know. But here's the thing. They're wanting to see what, you know, they just, these guys, you know, talking about the heart of worship. This is it. Man, I mean, they're coming to Jesus asking nothing. They didn't have a prayer request for nothing. No sick list for nothing. They didn't have no concerns back home. Nobody that had a problem. All they did was they came to Jesus to worship. Man, this is it. This is what they said. This is what we got for you. We brought you something. That's at the heart of worship. Not coming to Jesus for anything other than just to worship him and give him something, the best. And I'll say something about that in a minute as well. Time, treasure. You know, I think this, I'm going to put this in right here. Did Jesus need gold, frankincense, and myrrh? Does Jesus really need our time? And I hadn't sat there and pondered this around in my head for a long time, and I'd say, in a way, yes, and in a way, no. In a way, because he decides to work through weak vessels such as us to reach the lost world right there, yeah, he does. But at the same time, he doesn't need our individual time. He'll get it from somebody else, but we can use it that way. But I believe that he uses time and treasure and some other things. Not that he doesn't know, but we need to know. He measures, he uses these as tool to measure our hearts, to see and to show us. Then you get a message like this, see, and it comes up. He already knows our heart. He knows our heart. He does. But he says, you know, how much, let me show you how much time you're willing to give up. Let me show you how much treasure you think your heart's this way, but I'm going to show you with a test that your heart's not that way. I think it's a test. Now, some of them are. And then the last thing that we see that the wise men had was temperament. Temperament. Got it alliterated. Don't always, but I did today. Temperament, it says in our text in chapter 2, when we get down to verse 11, when they were come to the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. And they opened their treasures. They presented him into gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. The key is their temperament was they fell down and worshipped him. Didn't ask a thing. And boy, I tell you what, though, they gave him those gifts. Like I said, baby Jesus, he didn't need them. Adult Jesus didn't need them. The risen Lord doesn't need them. But they received more than they gave. Look what this is said in verse 10, back in verse 10. It says, when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. You're talking about another group of men that had a good day. Huh? They were standing in the presence of Jesus. They fell down and worshiped him right there on the spot. Now, I'm going to tell you what, I believe that house, wherever they were, was filled with the glory of God, the love of God, the peace of God. Man, everything that could come into a person's heart. They were exceeding joy. I say this all the time. What is man looking for in life? What are we striving for all the time? Why do we work? Why do we make money? Why do we buy a home? Why do we go on vacation? Why do we do the things that we do? Because we just want to be happy. We want to be happy. That's if you boil it down as far. But let me ask you this. Are you happy or are you frustrated? Anxiety. Aggravated with your own self. Sometimes you don't know it's your own self. You're aggravated, but you don't know it what. It's you. Aggravated with your own self. Life up and down spiritually. Why? Because we're always looking at the wrong place. We're looking in the wrong place. We're looking at the wrong person. We're looking at the wrong thing for the enjoyment
that God said, listen, I'm just going to give, I'll bless you. I'm going to give you. And guess what? It reciprocates again. You get filled with joy, guess what? People around you are going to be filled with joy. Huh? You all grumpy, groaning, moaning, sour look on your face, guess what? Everybody around you are going to get sour. But boy, when you get filled with joy and the love of God, and that love of God goes out to other people, and so then through you, whom God has given you this, you gave to God, you worship, you gave Him time, your treasure, huh, your temperament, you worship God, and He gave you this love and this joy and this peace that passes all understanding, and then that radiates out, and you're a channel for the blessings to go to other people. Guess what? God has given somebody else through you. He's given you something, but it's going out, and somebody else is receiving, and when they receive it, guess what? They're giving it to somebody else. It's all about the giving and the getting. Huh? It's all about that. That's really what it is. Man, they saw God. They saw God. Now, God drew them there. I know that. And then it said that God spoke to them in a dream. I got another little thought about a Christmas message. I might get it next week or the week after. Carefree Christmas. We all like to have a carefree Christmas. Nobody had one in the first Christmas. Nobody had a carefree Christmas. There was a lot of troubled thoughts and things, but anyway, give you a little taste, a little advertisement. It said that in verse 12, being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. Man, listen. God had drawn them there, and now God speaks to them. That speaks of fellowship, communion, relationship. God is speaking. Listen, what a blessing that God even wants to speak to us, but God spoke to them in a dream. I'm going to tell you what, you start seeking God, and you start worshiping God, guess what? God's going to speak to you. God will speak to you somehow. It says they departed into their own country another way. The great illustration here that's been used, this isn't nothing new. There's nobody that comes to Jesus that goes back the same way. If they come to Jesus with that kind of heart and they worship Jesus, they don't go back home the same way they came. In the spiritual sense, they go back a new person, a new man. Man, I'm telling you what, I bet you the trip on the way back was an exciting one, man. I bet you those guys were just filled with that, with the love of God. Listen, they received much more than they gave. They received great joy. We already talked about that. They received eternal life. They received the peace of God. They had a personal relationship with God. They had spiritual rest from all anxiety, cares, worries, all those things like that. They had an everlasting name. I'm not going to exhaust everything they have, but I'm giving you a lot. They had an everlasting name. They had a new heart. They had wisdom. They had provision. They had protection. I bet they got on home with no fuss, no muss, no trouble. They got on down there. Listen. God doesn't want or need our material things, but He does want us. And He does want our hearts. Amen. And what's in our hearts really revealed by things, what we do, how we do things. The Bible tells us in the New Testament to present our bodies a living sacrifice. Did you ever notice that present and present are spelled the same way? Just got the emphasis on another syllable. They're present and present are the same word. Present. The present God wants is us to give Him ourselves. That's what He wants. The things is just an indication if we have. He wants us to give Him ourselves, spelled the same way. It's all about the giving and the giving. Let me ask you this in closing. Have you received the gift of God, Jesus Christ? Have you received Jesus Christ, that He who hath the Son? See, a lot of times people think that, well, I have eternal life. Well, you do, but you have Jesus. See, He who hath the Son hath life. Amen. You have to receive Jesus. We're not really receiving eternal life, although that's a benefit of it. We're receiving Jesus. That's the gift. And eternal life is a big part of what we receive when we receive Jesus. Hey, you received that gift from God. Boy, what no better time. No better time. Then the present time is always the best time. The present time when God speaks to your heart, and I never know when and who. But if you've never asked Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sins and come into your life, He's waiting. Huh? He's ready. That's what it's all about. God's already given. He's given. He wants you to receive the gift. And then you can give yourself to Him. If that's on your heart this morning, you come forward as we have an invitation. Happy to pray with you about being saved today. And you can be. Turn it over to Paul.
Thank you, Pastor. Our hymn of invitation is hymn 308, I Surrender All. Let's stand together.
Okie dokie. Yes, ma'am.